Would you please stand as you're able for the call to worship? Christ calls, drop your nets and come to God.
We will follow with love.
Christ calls, lay your worries down and rest in the Lord.
We will follow with hope.
Christ calls, release your sorrows and the burden of your guilt.
We will follow with faith.
The God of grace, the Christ of love, welcomes and calls us here.
And happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you. And if you are sitting on the end of a pew, or if you will grab it someplace, grab the attendance pad and pass it down and pass it again. Take note of those sitting around you. If you are visiting, we especially welcome you today on this wonderful and very special Sunday, Father's Day.
Yay! Now let us continue our worship as we join together in our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God,
who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen,
our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Lord,
shall we pray? God of love and grace, as you welcome us here this day, we also welcome you to be within and among us. Breathe your love and your grace into our very being, that we may look upon one another with the same love that you show to all creation. Open our hearts that we may know the truth of your presence and the glory of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading this morning, our first reading, is from Psalm 65. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the people. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for you have so prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. This is the word of God for the people of God.
As we prepare to join together in corporate prayer, I invite you to find the prayer card, which is tucked into the pocket of the pew before you. If you would like to share your joys or concerns in a moment during the singing of our hymn, you'll have an opportunity to bring that forward or give it to one of our ushers and they will bring it forward for you. We do have some concerns and joys to share this morning. A great joy. We're happy to have the whole choir here today. They had a safe and good trip to San Francisco. I believe there were four choir members who participated in that, plus John and Karen, a couple choir members from Trinity. Glad to have you all back with us. Glad your trip was safe and successful. John, pray for him this week. He's doing one of his weeks of course of study in Ohio, so keep him in your prayers as he goes through an intensive week of learning. We also have a concern to share with you. We want to lift up the family of Gail Stokes, who passed away yesterday morning early. She was surrounded by her family. They have loved and cared for her, and they are planning to wait for a few weeks before having the service, possibly sometime around the first week of July. As we get that information, we will share that with you so that you are aware of the service of Gail Stokes. Now, let us join together as we sing our prayer song.
Thank you.
O perfect Father of us all, we gather this morning in your house of worship, knowing that we celebrate Father's Day in our country, but also somehow aware that in your love, every day of our lives should be Father's Day. For we want to honor not only those human beings in our lives who have served as father images, but we want to honor you as our perfect parent, the loving parent who never leaves us or abuses us or misleads us, who is always there in every moment of our lives. So, Lord, happy Father's Day. We pray on this morning for people all over this world, those who are in places where violence is rampant, all who are in the way of poor and violent decisions of other people, innocents whose lives are threatened by terror and by abuse. And we ask God that you would intervene. Intervene in every country on this planet, that all of us as your creation would come to know you better, to love you better, to serve you and honor you, and to act as Jesus taught us to act, with love toward one another. And where there are people who do not yet know Christ, we invite you to use us as your messengers, that we might share the perfect love of Christ with all who we encounter and beyond. For Lord, the world needs you now. The world needs Jesus. And we recognize that you have put us here to be the carriers of the good news. Bless us especially, all the fathers among us, all of us who have ever had a father. We pray for all who have known fathers in their lives, and for our fathers who have given us life and love that we may show them respect and love. We pray to you, God. For fathers who've lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them, God, we pray to you. For men, though without children of their own, who like fathers have nurtured and cared for us, we pray to you, Lord. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who've not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, we pray to you, Lord. God, as our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers prepare to come forward to receive the morning offering, let me point out that you had sort of a fat bulletin today. You have several inserts, and I encourage you to take a look at those inserts in your bulletin. There are many things coming up that we need you to be aware of. One announcement is that those who have tickets to attend Beauty and the Beast this afternoon, and you know who you are, you've been coordinating with Stella Martinez. She is going to be here at 1:45 sharp to give a ride to those who need a ride to the place where you're going. And if you want to meet at that location, She will have tickets there for you, your tickets for you at 2:00. If you have any further questions, just let me know after the service. You'll notice there's a flyer for Messy Church. We still need folks to come forward to help us with this outreach to our community and our neighborhood. Also, Vacation Bible School is soon upon us. We are less than 1 month away from Vacation Bible School. We need you. We need teachers and people to do crafts and snacks. We are using a group curriculum. It's about inventions and gears and that kind of thing. It's going to be very fun. And it's intended that if we have enough leaders to each take a portion of Vacation Bible School, it's very self-contained. Everything that you need, you have in front of you. So all we need is to plug you into where God is calling you to lead. Please, please contact Stella Martinez as soon as possible as we get ready for Vacation Bible School. And also, the brochures are here for the Holy Land trip that we are planning in October of 2018. Yes, it's more than a year away, but we have all the information for you. And if you register more than a year in advance, you get $150 off the trip. Pastor Laird and I will be leading this trip. The flyers are here. We can share these with you following the service. We will put some out near the hospitality area if you are interested in that trip. Now, let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. We offer them to you as a symbol of our love and commitment to be obedient to all the ways in which you call us. Bless what we give and use it to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. To greet those who we are worshiping with this morning. Turn and pass the peace to one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Peace be with you and also with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Judy. Peace, 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 peace. Did you have a good trip? Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Just checking in.
Children, come on down. I invite the children to come forward for a moment. Everybody, come over here. Can you gather kind of in the front, in the middle here? Calvin and all of you, come down this way. There we go, so I can see your pretty faces. How are you this morning? Is everybody staying cool? It got pretty hot yesterday, didn't it? Yep. 114? Oh my goodness, that makes me feel bad just thinking about that. We broke a record, didn't we? Well, it is summertime, and during the summer, we are doing some sermons this summer on fish stories that are in the Bible. And the story that Pastor Laird's going to read in a few minutes is the story where Jesus was walking along the beach of the Sea of Galilee, and he saw some men who were fishing for fish. Now, have any of you ever gone fishing? Anybody gone fishing? We are landlubbers here in Roswell, aren't we? Some people have gone fishing. Some of you have. Okay. Did you go fishing? Yeah. And you saw Batman too? That is awesome. You saw Batman movie? Did he fish in the movie?
No.
No? Okay. Well, Jesus saw these men fishing, and he said to them, "I'm going to make you fishers of people." Now, has anyone here ever gone fishing for people?
I was fishing.
You were fishing? What did you catch?
Fish.
You caught a fish? Did you catch a person? So how do you suppose they could do that? How could you fish for people? Now, when you went fishing, what did you use to catch your people, or to catch your fish? What'd you use? A fishing rod? And how does that work? Can you show me how'd you hold the rod, right? Okay, you held the rod, and then you reel it in like this, okay? And what's out there on the end of the rod?
A lure.
A lure or a fish hook with some bait on it, something yummy that the fish really want to eat, like a worm or something delicious like that, right? So then what do you do with that fishing rod? You cast it out, cast with me, everybody cast your rod out, and then what do? You reel it in, and what do you hope will happen? You hope that you'll catch a fish. Now, if we were gonna fish for people, what could we use? Do you think they would bite on a worm? No. Steaks? We could fish for people with steaks. That would absolutely catch a few of them, absolutely. What else do you think might work? Chocolate, did someone say chocolate?
Oh,
yeah. what did you say?
Tacos.
Tacos might catch a few. What? How else could we fish for people? What do you think?
Grapes,
they would fit on the hook nicely too, right?
Pizza,
that might work. That might
and
work.
And blueberries.
And blueberries. That would probably, raspberry. Oh my goodness. See, now we're thinking. And if you combined all of that with the steaks, it would be like a smorgasbord, which was a different
sound.
And strawberries too. Well, I have an idea of the perfect bait to use for fishing for people. Love. They all went, Love is the perfect way to fish for people, because when you give people love, they want to come and be with you. And when you give them Jesus' love, they want to come and be with Jesus. So the way that we catch people and fish for people is by using love. Now, there's a bazillion ways that you can do that, but I have one important way that we're going to fish for people with love today. Do you know what special day this is?
Father's Day.
It's Father's Day.
Father's
Day. So we're going to reach out and use love for all of the fathers that are here and all the grandpas and all of the sons. Now, what qualifies a person to be a son?
Son is hot.
The sun is hot.
Yes. And the rain makes the storm.
And the rain makes the storm.
The sun is a person.
What kind of a person?
A child.
A child, or somebody who at some time or another they were a child, but it's a special kind of a person. A special kind of a child. What's the difference between a son and a daughter? One's a boy and one's a girl. So today on Father's Day, we're going to love all of the sons. Anybody who is a son or ever at any time in their life was a son. So that means everybody who's a guy, whether they're little tiny guys or big grown-up guys or grandpa guys, all the guys are going to get honored. And all of our prayer shawl ladies have made for all of the sons a little teeny tiny miniature pocket prayer shawl that has a cross on it, so that when, because even boys sometimes kind of need a little love, right? So they can carry this in their pocket in a very manly way that no one even has to see. And when they feel like they just need a little bit of love and to remember that their Heavenly Father is going to take care of them, they can hold on to their little pocket prayer shawl. But I need for you to help me. I need each of you to take a handful of these pocket prayer shawls and deliver them to all of the sons who are here, including, if you're a son, you get to keep one too, okay? So, and including the choir too. So we're going to do a prayer first, and we're going to pray over these little pocket prayer shawls that God will fill them with love, that they'll carry out to all of those people. And then I'm going to give them to you and have you take them out and fish for people by sharing God's love. Okay, just put your hands toward the basket, but don't take them yet. The point is that your love is going to go through your hands, and God's love is going to go through your hands into these. Okay, ready? Here we go. We're going to pray. God bless these pocket prayer shawls, and let all of the sons here know that you love them and we love them, and your love is there for you at all times. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, now hold on. I'm going to hand you a wad of these. Here's a wad for you. Take a whole big wad. And here's a wad for you. Now go give this to all the boys, JP. And Bailey, here's a wad for you. And here's a wad for you. And has anybody not gotten some yet? There you go. Now go find some boys and men, and give them a pocket prayer shawl. There you go, Luke. Let's go take them to the people out there and up here in the choir first, okay? And then you can give them to each other. JP, go give one to Grandpa. Go give Grandpa a prayer shawl. He's not here. Oh, that's right. He's in the office. Can you go over? Come here, JP. Oh, she's going to help him. All right. OK. Calvin's going to help you. There's some over here. Go over there. Look, hey, Luke, I think you're going to need some more. You want some more? Because there's several gentlemen over that way. Gentlemen, help them out. If you're a son, put your hand up so they can find you. There you go. Look, some of the sons have their hands up. Look back. Can you see there's some men in the back that have their hands up? Can you go find them? Here you go. Is there anyone who is a son who has not yet received a pocket prayer shawl? Okay, you can put the extras right here. And if you're a boy, make sure that you get one. Or if you have somebody at home who needs one, you can take one to them too.
I want to take one to my brother.
That is perfect. Absolutely. If you have a brother or a uncle or aunt or a neighbor, not an aunt, or anyway, if you know any sons that you want to take one to, make sure you take one for them too. There you go. Good job. There you go. Bye, guys. Thank you. Here, Bailey. Thank you. Do you want to take one home to somebody? You can take one home to somebody, okay? You want to take one home for somebody and take one for you?
Gentlemen, these are just about the right size. If you have a rusty net with a lot of grease on it, this is just the right size to put it on there. Oh, that's probably not what it's supposed to be used. Will you stand as we read the gospel? The gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And so, first of all, we want to say once again, Happy Father's Day to everybody. And hope you have a wonderful day later on this afternoon. And that concludes the Father's Day portion of today's service. Because we're going to get right on to something that I am really very excited about telling you about. And that is in line with the theme of this sermon series about fish and fishermen. I'm going to try to tie it into this group that was here this week. We had a wonderful week. Let me see if the technology is going to work here. Okay. Oh, wrong way. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here we go. That's the group of kids that were here. I say kids, but they were really young adults. There were 44 younger people of different ages, mostly high school age, and 6 adults, including their 2 cooks. And they were from Wellspring United Methodist Church in Georgetown, Texas. And they slept here at the church. They cooked their meals in our kitchen. They pretty much slept. They weren't sort of in this end of the building very much, but they pretty much slept in every other room of the church. They were upstairs and downstairs. They ate almost all of their meals here. And it was a really big deal. You couldn't have been in the church this week and not noticed them. They divided up into 3 groups. And one group went to the Boys and Girls Club and were there helping all week. Another group went to Harvest Ministries and were there all week. And the third group stayed here and did a whole bunch of stuff. That's a picture of them in our kitchen, I guess, eating and preparing their food and that sort of thing. They did a lot of ceiling tile on the main floor here. You know that before we got the new roof, we had some bad-looking ceiling tile. And that gentleman there, his name is Warren, is an electrical contractor. And before we even gave him a job or made a suggestion as what he could do, he looked around and said, "Well, hey, I'm an electrical contractor, and you know what that means? I work with ceiling tile an awful lot." So he sort of put a little group of kids together, and they worked on ceiling tile just about all the whole week and did an awful lot of it. They didn't get to the whole church, but they got an awful lot up and down the gallery and going out to the columbarium, and it looks much, much better now. There's a lady doing ceiling tile. They cleaned up the courtyard for us. They planted bedding plants in our what I guess used to be the baptismal font at one time, but they did that. They trimmed the bushes. They had a good time doing it. And the other thing that another thing that we had them do is they cleaned out everything out of the cabinets in the kitchen, and they lined just about all the cabinets and the shelves with rubber matting, with liner, and then they put it all back in. And so we're still looking for some things, and there's still going to be some reorganization to do, but it was wonderful to have that entire kitchen pretty much everything pulled out, resorted, cleaned, washed, and put back in. So that was a wonderful thing that they did. That's, if you don't recognize where they are, they're actually behind the serving counter there in the next to the fellowship hall. They worshiped here. They had a worship service every night. So they used our big screen TV back there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful, very busy, busy week for them. And for some of us. And so I want to acknowledge Mike White and Katie Yates and Stella and Jaime Martinez and probably others, but who worked with them an awful lot of the time and took on specific projects with them. Mike White especially. Mike worked harder than they did and was here every day last week. But the wonderful thing about it is, so these kids had a great attitude. They had a lot of good humor and enthusiasm. They were inspiring to us older folks who tried to keep up with them sprinting back and forth. You could see them visibly tire as they got through the week. But, I mean, we started out the week tired. So it was... It was a cool thing to get to see the hope and strength and energy that come from our young ones. And of course, we have wonderful younger folks here in our church as well. And it's really neat to see that wonderful, useful enthusiasm, especially when those individuals make a decision to get out of their comfort zone and do something good. To chase after something important and valuable and meaningful, even if it's only for 5 or 6 days. So everybody that was on this trip that came from Georgetown, Texas, left their regular lives behind, and they dropped whatever they were doing, ball teams and practices and lessons, and in the case of the adults, the electrical contractor left his business, and one of the ladies was a municipal administrator, and she took vacation to come and be on this trip. They dropped it all and came to Roswell on this crazy trip where they had never been before and probably didn't know they cared anything about until they got here. And then they cared about us. So it was one of those situations where they heard a call in some form, however it came to them. And they answered the call. So just like Simon and Andrew out fishing and James and John mending their nets, they heard an invitation and decided that they were going to drop what they were going to do for what they were doing for something bigger and better. Something bigger and better was sort of the theme of their camp. It almost sounds like we could add that on to the words of Jesus. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he said. And they had no idea what they were in for, but it was bigger and better. It was early in the morning, and there were probably only a few people on the shore that early morning. They were tired fishermen because they were just finishing a hard night of fishing, and out on the Sea of Galilee. Tina and I went to the Sea of Galilee, not last year, but I guess a year and a half or so again, and along with Gary, and it was really thrilling to remember those these words and the other references to the Sea of Galilee. But so on this morning, it was a little bit misty, but two brothers had cast their nets into the sea and they were drawing fish. They were still fishing, trying to get a few more fish into the boat to take to the market. And then their two brothers were nearby minding their nets, getting ready for the next night of fishing. They were probably impatient to get their fish to the market so they could go home and get some rest. But then a man walked up along the shoreline, and he hollered at them and invited them to come and follow him. And what he said made the four of them leave their nets and their boats and decide to follow this man as his disciples. Well, now we only have just these few words of dialogue that have been handed down from us to us from 2,000 years ago, but I feel like there must have been some other conversation. Don't you think? I know that if Tina and I were out fishing in a boat and somebody hollered at us and said, come and I will make you fishers of men, that one or both of us would have said, what? What did he say? Do what? He wants us to what? So maybe there was more conversation than that. I wonder if Simon and Andrew and James and John knew what a commitment they were making, or did their commitment come later on? What the gospel does tell us is that right then and there, though, for that moment, they heard God's invitation. And even though they may have had other plans, they said yes and decided to follow Jesus. So these kids came to Roswell. Let me see if I have another slide.
Okay, so starting off on our mission trip, we have a certain schedule. Stop. So basically what we do is we work throughout the day, usually to about 3 o'clock. My name is Faith and I'm from...
Okay. These kids decided to come to Roswell, and I'm messed up on my technology here, but I think I can fix it. Here we go. Okay, now, stay. Okay, the kids came to Roswell, and as a result of hearing words of invitation in some form, each in their own way, perhaps they came with different motives and different needs and desires, different things that they were looking for, but they all ended up looking for something bigger and better. Perhaps for some of them, it was an early step towards a life of service. Perhaps a journey into unknown territory where God's plan for them is only unveiled one step at a time. But it wasn't all work this week. Any of you that have worked with youth before know that the secret to working with youth is keeping them really busy all the time. And so even though they worked long and hard every day and worshiped and had devotions and all of that, they had a fun activity every evening. And one of the activities that they had, I think on Tuesday night, was a game that they played, and I don't know if they invented it or how it came about, but they called it the game of bigger and better. And the way this worked is that each team got into a band, so there were three bands and three groups with their adult sponsors, and they were each given one penny. And they were told to take that penny and do something great with it, to go out into the community of Roswell and try to trade it or barter or ask or do something, but to take that penny and do something good with it and increase its value in some way. So I know that one group went out with a penny and they came back with a fishing pole. I don't know the story behind that. Don't know. Another group came back and they bartered their penny through a series of transactions and got a bench, a used garden bench, which they placed in the area in front of the Cowboy Bell in the courtyard and gave to the church to enhance our courtyard. Then the third group was the group that worked here at the church, and we got to know them a little bit better than the others. And so I'm going to show you now, if it all works properly, let them tell you the story of what they did with their penny. Am I going backwards again? Okay, all right.
My name is Faith and I'm from Round Rock, Texas. Okay, so starting off on our mission trip, we have a certain schedule. So basically what we do is we work throughout the day, usually to about 3 o'clock, and then everybody meets up back at the church, and then we eat dinner, we have our recreation time, and then we worship. And on Tuesday during our recreation time, our youth leader came up with a game called Bigger or Better. And basically the point of the game was you were given this penny and you had to drive around town with our leaders in our vans and we had to trade up to something. And that was where everything began.
I'm Kyla Wagner and I'm from Georgetown, Texas. So with the penny, we went to Albertsons for the Starbucks, and we got a little sampler cup of a Frappuccino, and then we traded that for 82 cents.
Hi, so my name is Timothy Lillian. I am from Georgetown, Texas. And as I said before, mission trip and the Bigger or Better game. My part of the story is after we had gotten the 82 cents in the Albertsons. So after we had gotten that, we actually went back to the van and were unsure as to what exactly we needed to go. So eventually we decided to try out the alien shop. I believe it's on Main Street. It's the one with the giant alien label on in front of it. Anyways, we went there to try and obtain the giant alien in front of it. Unfortunately, the worker who was there could not allow us to take the alien away from the store. However, once we got out and went back to the car, trying to figure out what to do, we then were able to notice the man in front of Subway holding the sign.
Hello, I'm Addison LaCades and I'm from Round Rock, Texas. So we were really stressed out and overwhelmed trying to win this game and finding a good strategy. And we were just really overwhelmed and we were running out of time. So we looked across the street and we did see this homeless man And as soon as I saw him, my heart dropped, and I realized that this game that we're playing is not about finding an object that's the coolest or the biggest. It's about finding something more meaningful. And our topic for this week was about trying to shine the light of God and finding a way to do it and just how to be the light. And so we went to Subway and we bought him a sandwich and a drink, and we came back and gave it to him, and we would come back with a picture of all of us together that's actually really meaningful.
Did you buy the sandwich for 82 cents?
Yes, we did buy the sandwich for 82 cents, and obviously it wasn't enough, so we would come back and pay it off because we would keep our phone numbers there so they can find a way to contact us.
Hi, I'm Jordan Krupper, and I'm from Austin, Texas. And so my part of the story picks up from when we went to Subway. So we'd seen the man across the street because we were at an alien store. And so, as you already heard, we had decided to go and help this man. And so we walked across the street, and we were in front of Subway. And so as a group, we all decided that we should do something better for him than just go and reach out to him. And so we decided to go get him a sandwich and trade the 82 cents for it. But the cashier there, she didn't want to trade because she was afraid with her job and everything, how the manager would react. And so Michelle, our group leader, she left her name, her phone number, and her driver's license with the people at Subway, promising that we would come back and pay them for the sandwich. And so we had asked the man what type of sandwich he wanted, but he said that he would take just anything. He would be happy with whatever we gave him. And so we went inside and got him a sandwich, and we got him a meal with some chips and a drink, and we went outside and gave it to him, and you could tell he was just very, very happy with it. And we were able to get pictures with him and talk to him, and you could tell that he had been through a lot and that he was just a very good person.
Do I start? Okay. My name is Riley Reynolds, and I'm from Round Rock, Texas, and my part of the story is, it starts like at Subway. So we had got him a sandwich, and we were asking him like what he would want and like if he would come inside with us, but he said he didn't want to because he didn't want to leave his bike, and that's when like we really realized like that was all he had, and with him was his bike and the food he was getting from everyone. So after we had gotten him the sandwich and we gave it back to him, we went in the van, and Michelle was saying how proud of us she was for doing it and like going bigger than what she expected, but could we go bigger is like something she had asked us. So we decided, like, we came up with the idea of actually getting him the room for the night because like he needed shelter and we knew he was struggling. And so we by that time we only had 10 minutes left in the game, and we had to rush back to the church and all race to get our money, and we all pitched in money to get him money for the hotel. And we went back to him, and that's when Kendall gave him the money.
Hi, my name is Kendall Weiss, and I am from Round Rock, Texas. So my part of the story is I called Motel 6 right when we got back to the church to get the man a room. And then when we all collected our money and we went back to a street corner, he was just about to leave, and he was getting his bike, and he was about to take off. And so I just ran out, and I was like, hey, wait. And I gave him the money, and I told him how to get there. And then I went inside to Subway to pay for his meal, and I mean, his face was just priceless. It was probably the most touching thing I've ever seen in my life. So.
Hi, my name is Michelle Broderick, and I'm from Georgetown, Texas, and I had the pleasure of staying at First United Methodist Church here in Roswell with my mission group. We are from Wellspring United Methodist in Georgetown, and we brought some kids from not only our church, but also Round Rock Christian Academy and several of their friends from the Central Texas area. While we were here, every single day we do a variety of things amongst our work and our worship. We play some games. The other night we played a game called Bigger or Better. All but one of my kids had never played this game before, and I had never played. And so there was a little bit of chaos starting the evening and trying to figure things out. And one of the things that I had done during the midst of the chaos was just to kind of remind them that sometimes we can pass a light without it being a monetary cost to us. And our theme this year was points of light. And so during the course of our evening, things were getting a little chaotic, and I felt like I needed a little guidance, and I had prayed while sitting in the van's back seat. And I had just asked the Lord that if the game was bigger or better, to really guide the kids and help them to truly make it a big difference, and that they would find this game meaningful as a part of our worship as well. And during the course of that evening, Addison sitting next to me shortly after, just literally a block after I had prayed, saw someone that she wanted to help. And I honestly, at the moment she did that, I totally wept. I could not be more proud of our group, of what we've done, not only at the church and all the other venues that we were at, but that the kids did not let that light stop just in their jobs. They made a point to put it into their into every aspect of their life. And one of the things that we've learned through this experience is that as we light each other's candle and light each other's light within, taking God's light further, that when we light each other, we're empowered and we light much further and the distance goes much further. Thank you for letting us stay at First United Methodist Church. We so appreciate the Texas size hospitality, and we're hopeful that your town felt the impact of our visit.
So if you didn't quite get the story, they took a penny, they went and traded it for something, and then they got 82 cents, and then they at some point, they just abandoned the game, and they tried to buy a sandwich for 82 cents from Subway to give to this person on the street who was holding a sign asking for money. And So the 82 cents turned out to be just a down payment. They had to go back and get money, and then they came back and paid for the sandwich. But in the process, they decided that they were going to pay for a motel room for this fellow for the evening. And the point is, okay, so this is not, they are not modeling how we should perhaps deal with how we as residents of Roswell and members of this church, we could make some real suggestions, or the way that they did it is not how we do it. For instance, to pay for the hotel room, they gave him cash and pointed him in the direction of the whole Motel 6, and we don't know if he got there with it or not. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Those are the questions that we jaded and kind of cynical adults ask. What we're dealing with here is freshness and love and the closest thing to answering God's genuine call that we have an opportunity to witness from time to time. When we decide to accept an invitation from Christ, we really don't know where that's going to take us. Most likely, it's going to take us places that we don't ever expect to go. But when we say yes to Christ, we're saying yes to helping others, yes to promoting goodness and righteousness, we're saying yes to love. And just as Jesus took those fishermen and transformed them into some of the greatest preachers and leaders that the world has ever seen, the Holy Spirit has begun his work with our friends from Georgetown as well. Just as the Holy Spirit has begun his work here with us. And so Christ will take us just as we are, with our shortcomings and our faults and our fears and our failures, if we will only answer his call and accept his invitation. Won't you say yes to God's love? However you hear that voice, to help others, to promote all things good and holy, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And now, if today is the Sunday, when you want to come forward and unite with the fellowship of this church to give your life to Christ for the first time, we invite you to come forward during the singing of this hymn. Will you stand if you are able? Now the grace and mercy and the goodness and the holiness of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen. And happy Father's Day.